In the second book of the Holy Scriptures, Exodus, in the chapter 19, we find the children of Israel on their journey from the land of their slavery to the promised land. They arrived to the Mount Sinai, and that area is wilderness and desert. They have left Egypt on the 15th day of the first month, as it is recorded in Exodus chapter 12. Some commentaries questioned the number of months in the Holy Scriptures and the length of each individual month. Some even suggested that the Hebrews had only 10 months and a shorter year than so-called solar year of the present time Gentile calendar. I have not found any reliable base for that opinion. In the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, we see much diligence toward purging away influences of paganism, but no reference to any disagreement between the Babylonian and the Hebrew calendar. I am of the opinion that the correct calendar in Israel was in harmony with God's creation, except when the Hebrews wandered away from the Lord and into idolatry. I also perceive that the idea of 10 months in a Hebrew year might have been generated or at least promoted by the Roman Catholicism or some other branch of paganism called Christianity by the ignorant and unreliable teachers. Exodus chapter 19 told us the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sinai in the third month and on the third day were sanctified to witness the manifestation of the Lord's presence. Moses was up in the mountain when the Lord sent him down to the people to make sure nobody violated God's command concerning the bounds or boundaries by the mountain. Logically, Moses had to take some time with the people and, after that, to climb up the mountain to receive the commandments, which means that Moses received the Ten Commandments on the fifth day of the third month. It is very likely that the law was given on the 50th day after the first Passover offering and observation. The word Pentecost means 50th or 5 weeks, 7 weeks plus 1 day, or first day after the 7 weeks. The children of Israel were led through the blood of the Passover lamb out of the land of slavery. And now, at the Mount Sinai, they received the commandments and the law of God. So they became a new nation, the nation of the Lord, a testimony of God's redeeming grace by the Passover lamb, and the holy nation to declare the glories of the Almighty God. In Leviticus chapter 25, we read about the law of the Lord's Jubilee. I would like to urge every listener of this recording to read the whole chapter. In the verse number 9 of this chapter 25, the trumpet is sounding in all the land, proclaiming liberty to all that were oppressed. In the verse number 13, every man returns to his inheritance, the inheritance he lost in his declining years. Many decades, many centuries passed, but the year of Jubilee was never celebrated in Israel as far as I can find out searching the scriptures. It was never celebrated as the Lord had commanded. Finally, the true Lamb of God came. And in Luke 4:18 we see him proclaiming, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." After 7 times 7 years, 7 times of annual Sabbaths, or 7 days, the year of Jubilee, the year of release, the year of forgiveness, the year of liberty has been commanded by the Lord. And now the Lord Jesus Christ himself is proclaiming that year of Jubilee. Finally, the true Lamb of God came. Finally, the true year of Jubilee is here in Christ to all who trust and obey him. In the book of Leviticus chapter 23 verse 10, the Lord commanded to bring the offering of the first fruits of their harvest. In the verse number 15, God commanded to count 7 weeks. And in the verse number 16, the 50th day, the first day after the full 7 weeks, an offering to the Lord, described in the verse number 17 as 2 loaves, the first fruit offering unto the Lord, was offered. In the epistle to the Romans chapter 8 verse 23, we read that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ have the first fruits of the Spirit. And in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, we see our Lord and Savior as the first begotten of the dead. This first begotten gave of his Spirit to his disciples right on the day when he was risen from the dead. That first evening when he entered in, though the door was locked, he gave them of his Spirit. And then 40 days he was teaching them to see him in his words and in his work, not in his body. He was filling them with his Spirit. And then he was lifted up into glory before their very eyes. 10 days they spend in prayers and supplications, and on the 50th day, the day of the Pentecost, the year of Jubilee started. The trumpet of the gospel of salvation in Christ the Redeemer sounded forth over all the earth, proclaiming liberty to all who trust and obey the mighty Lamb of God. The one that offered himself, the crucified, the risen, the glorified, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that loves us with his everlasting love. Glory to him forever. In brief, I think this is the meaning and the significance of the day of Pentecost. The trumpet of the gospel sounded forth. There is liberty in Christ for all that trust and obey. No more slavery to sin. No more oppression by the adversary of our souls. Each one of us is a sound of the trumpet, a voice of the truth, a ray of his light. And we should also be an image of his image. As he is the presentation of the Father, so he has sent us to be his presentation to the world. That's the year of Jubilee. That's the day of Pentecost. That's the power of the Spirit of God. Christ is risen, and we are witnesses to that fact. He is risen in us also, and our life, day by day, should be a living testimony that God is perfectly pleased in His only begotten Son, who fulfilled all of His will.